Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? You guys doing all right? Okay, I didn't hear you. Are you guys doing okay? Doing good? So we are in a sermon series, and that sermon series is titled All for Honor. And so over the past couple of weeks, we have, well, really just 1 week, we've been talking about honor. And what we talked about last week, if you wasn't here, that honor is a core component, it's a necessary component to experience a reality of the culture of the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that one more time. Honor is a necessary component to experience a reality of the culture of the kingdom of God. And why do we say reality? One of the things that Jesus did when Jesus came, he came and he inaugurated the kingdom of God. So when you have a president and a president comes, even though in America a president has 4 terms, the inauguration is the beginning of, not 4 terms, we don't want that, 4 years. The inauguration is the, that's another country, right? The inauguration is the beginning of it. So when Jesus came, he inaugurated his kingdom, which therefore means we are not believers who are waiting for this whole world just to go to heaven. Because of that inauguration, we could experience a reality of his kingdom right now, right here. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, go heal the sick. And then he told them, tell them the kingdom of God has come to you. That's why Jesus said, I must continue to go preach this message of the kingdom, because his whole idea was to bring about a reality of the kingdom of God here and now. And so last week, we really laid that foundation. And what we're talking about is that honor is a core component of it. Our culture has totally, we are in a culture of dishonor. Case in point, that's not my president. So the office of the president is no longer honorable. And I can go on and on. We cancel people in this culture faster than, like, I don't know, we like brush our teeth or something, right? There is no forbearance with one another. And so this series, Honor, it's called All for Honor, and we also want to restore this idea of honor that seems like an ancient thing, but it is not. Without it, you cannot establish the kingdom of God. So last week, I defined what honor is, and I'm going to define it in case you missed last week. So last week is honor is a behavior that recognizes. So you need wisdom, come on. You need wisdom to be able to recognize, celebrates, and even rewards someone, especially regarding their difference. So what honor says is, I see who you are, and there's a difference to this. You're a president of the United States, and so there's an office that comes with that. And so although you may act in a manner that garners you no respect, I'm still going to honor that office. But in a culture of dishonor, we say, I don't give a, come on, we do say that. I can't say it here. I'm not going there. In a culture of dishonor, we curse and we trivialize even ministers in the church of God. But what happens in a culture of dishonor, because we're all human, we all make mistakes. And so eventually, when you have a culture of dishonor, you literally, there can be no peace among you. And so when we say honor is behavior that recognizes, we put weight, and that word, to put weight, it comes from the Hebrew kabod. And you can find this where God says, honor your mother and father. And that word honor, it means put weight on that relationship, that's your mother, put some weight on it. The Greek word means time. It looks like time, but it's not time, it's time. And that's Greek. It means to esteem or elevate in value, hold in high regard, something or someone. And so, if I go back to the analogy of a mom and a dad, so your mother, regardless, or your parents, or your guardian, no matter who they are, you have to put, when you honor, you put weight on that relationship. You could have many friends, but your mom could only handle that type of, that's the weight they have in that relationship. So today, what we're going to do today is going to be primarily a teaching message, right? So there's two ways we grow in the kingdom. One of those ways is by revelation. Revelation means you're driving down your car and the Holy Spirit speaks something, and then you call your best friend. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it, right? That's revelation. Another way that we grow in the kingdom of God, it's not a big oh my God, is renewing our mind. It's teaching. And so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually walk us through the Bible. So if you have your Bible, bring your Bible out. If you don't have it, use your app or whatever you have. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about dishonor. I want to talk about dishonor. So I'll give everybody a moment. Grab your apps or your Bibles. If you want to grab a pen, go ahead and grab a pen. And as I mentioned, it's primarily we want to grow, not through, maybe you might get revelation, amen. I want the Holy Spirit to do that. But we want to grow through understanding the Word of God. We're talking about dishonor today. And we're going to start with Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And the whole premise of this series is honor is a necessary component to experience a reality of the kingdom. Mark 6 is where we're starting. Okay, is everybody there? So we're going to read Mark 6, verses 1 through 6, and we're going to learn a little bit. This reveals a little bit about dishonor for us. So let's start. So Jesus left there, verse 1, and went to his hometown. Accompanied by his disciples, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him, they were amazed. Mind blown. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that he has been giving him? So they're asking all these questions. What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Now, here's the giveaway. Isn't this the carpenter? So they're like, dude, you're awesome. You're doing all this, but isn't this the carpenter? Aren't his sisters here with us? They're questioning the difference. Remember, honor recognizes. Before you have honor, you got to have wisdom to recognize who you give honor to and who you don't honor their difference. So, for example, if I get pulled over, if somebody's like telling me to pull over, I'm not pulling over because I have wisdom to realize you're not a cop. I'm not pulling over. But if a cop pulls me over, wisdom says recognize the difference. Put weight on the office of a police over. Pull your car over. So what they're doing here, they're questioning his difference. He's trying to operate in who he is, and he's trying to operate and move in a place of ministry, but they're so stuck in who he was, they couldn't put weight on who he is. And church, listen, this is so good, because even you as a Christian, as you begin to grow in God, the very, 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 very thing you're going to have to watch out in your life is people who know you for who you used to be, and they don't know you for who you're becoming. And those people will consistently, they will throw shade on your growth. They're so used to interacting with you with the person they knew 2 years ago that they have no manner that this is a different person. So honor is a consistent thing that keeps happening as you're growing with God, as you're growing, as I'm growing. We live in a culture of honor where we say, I don't know what God is doing in your life, but I know your distinctives. I know your difference, and I'm going to put some weight on that. And they took offense at him. They actually got mad at his difference. That word offense is the Greek word skandalion. It comes from the word scandals, where we get it. And an offense in this language, an offense is like somebody setting a trap for you. And if you get offended, that means you stepped in the trap. So literally, whenever you're talking to your friend and they say something that kind of always wants you to get you offended, just know it's a trap. You don't have to step in it. You only get offended if you step in it. And Jesus was not trying to offend him. They got offended. They fell into the trap of offense. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town." Without honor. That word honor or dishonor, it means atimos. Atimos. And it means to treat as common or ordinary. I'm going to put no weight on who you are. Dishonor has a certain odor. It's nasty. Dishonor has a line that when it's crossed, everybody in the room knows it's just been crossed. It's when you get the stink face. It's when your mind, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they just did that. Like you're running through. It has a line. It has an odor. It has a feel about it. And everybody knows when that thing's been crossed. And then let's keep reading. A prophet is not without honor. It means to treat, dishonor means to make common or ordinary, except in his own town, his relatives, and in his home. And look what it says here. This is amazing. Look what dishonor does. He could not do any what? Miracles there. Except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed, now look at this, at their lack of faith. So literally, because, no wonder Jesus told people to get out the room when he had to heal people. Remember that story? He's like, look, y'all need to go. That culture, that atmosphere of dishonoring, not recognizing who the weight of who he was, literally closed the door, and very few people were able to be healed. So let's take some key observations from Mark chapter 6. Remember, this is a teaching moment. We're not making doctrine out of this or anything, but we just want to make some observations about dishonor, okay? Number one, dishonor affected their faith in the power of difference. I'm going to say that again. Dishonor, those people in this story, it affected their faith. Remember, Jesus was, he was amazed at their lack of what? Faith. In the power of Jesus' difference, he's the Messiah. So when dishonor starts creeping into your life, if it's your mom or your dad and you begin to dishonor them, you start to lack faith in the difference of the relationship that that's your mom. You begin to say, I have an awful mom. My dad's terrible. And you begin to lack faith in that difference. And when you lack faith in that difference, your mom or your dad can feel that odor you bring with it. They can feel that energy. One of my best friends, he always says, man, trust the energy. Trust the energy. Trust the energy you feel when they come around you. And that dishonor brings that along. And so if you have a good friend, if you have a best friend, and you begin to not put weight on that relationship, what begins to happen is you lose faith in that difference, and you say, I have to cancel them. So when I dishonor my president, when I dishonor the politician, when I dishonor people, I lack faith in the power of the difference of the relationship, and I'm ghost. And Satan has been using this. Yeah, Satan is real, because if you believe in God, I mean, he saved you from sin. Come on now. You were trapped and you were bound somewhere. And Satan has been using this ploy to make Christians think that they're being honorable when they're really being dishonorable and self-righteous. Say that again. When they're really being dishonorable and self-righteousness. Honoring other people, sometimes honor is a double-edged sword. Sometimes it has less to do about whether they deserve honor or not. It has more to do about whether you can stand up to that ugliness they've given you and still honor them anyway. Honor reveals more about your character than it does about them. And at the same time, we don't return dishonor for dishonor. The kingdom of God math doesn't work that way. But our culture has so swept us up, we just dishonor every office, we dishonor everyone, and we think we're actually being like kingdom. We think we're actually being righteous. No, you're not. You're cutting people off. So dishonor affected their faith in the power of difference. So I have made, literally, I've asked God, I've said, help me not to dishonor. Help me. So I'm in a journey of trying to practice, because to be honest, I haven't been doing it. Don't know how it is, and that's how we have the culture that we have today. And so this is something we have to get in our DNA, church. Put weight on certain relationships. Some of you in here have some really, really good friends. You have some friends that's been with you through thick and thin. Put some weight on that relationship. Honor them in that way. Recognize that difference and honor them. Here's the second thing we learn about this. Dishonor led to an unnecessary offense due to familiarity. Dishonor leads to an unnecessary offense. So if I go back to politics again, because that's where we're at in this moment, right? When you begin to dishonor, you lose faith in the office, then you get offended. Because I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. Now you're offended. Now you carry offense in your heart. And with that offense, you know you can't fellowship with them. Because Jesus teaches us, if you come to this house to worship, before you come to this altar, if you have an issue with your brother and sister, I don't even want to hear you. I'm going to just be real. I don't even want to hear you. You need to go fix that. Because you messing up my culture. Because I have a culture of honor, and I have a culture of love. That's how much our Lord cares about healthy relationships. And that's why he told his disciples, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And so honor is this secret, like, superpower that no matter how stink somebody is to you, you're like, I'm not even going to go back at you like that. Because I don't return dishonor with dishonor, because that just gets into a crazy world. So dishonor led to an unnecessary offense, but it wasn't just unnecessary offense, it was due to familiarity. You got to watch this. If you're in a relationship with someone, if you're dating someone, if you're married, if you're in a relationship, this is how a lot of marriages really come to an end real quick. This is how a lot of dating relationships really come to an end real quick. Men, if you're a man in this house, there's a certain way you got to honor a woman. If you're a woman, there's certain ways you got to honor a man. And when we honor each other, you keep the whole, and you honor the weight that this is my husband. Even though I've been married to him for 17 years or 20 years or 10 years or 3 years or 2 years or 1 year, there's certain ways I can't talk to him like that. This is my wife. Even though I've been married for 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 10, 15 years, there's certain ways I can't talk to her because of the weight of the relationship that I have with her. And here's another secret about this. There's a law in the kingdom of God, in the culture of the kingdom of God. It's called you reap what you sow. So most of the time, whenever you... If you're having issues in a culture of relationships, sometimes step back and ask yourself, have I sowed something negative in this person's life? Because sometimes the anger you're feeling back from them might be the negativity you sowed in their life. So you sit here doing all that praying, talking about God heal them, God fix them, and God's like, dude, you sowed so much negativity, the frustration and the things that you're getting back from them, you're just reaping what you sow. So that's why we can't return dishonor with dishonor, because as they're giving you that negative dishonor, what you got to remember is I don't know what's up with them. I don't know where that's at, but I got to keep sowing honor. I got to keep sowing honor back, because one day I'm going to reap it right back. So the point of point two is don't become so familiar with the people in your life that hold weight in your life. One of the pastors in Cincinnati, his name is Chris Beard. when I'm with him, I'm like, this is Pastor Chris. Like, this is Pastor Chris. If we go golfing, hey, Pastor Chris, how's it going? I don't want to call you Chris. I got enough friends. I need a pastor in my life. So I'm going to put weight on that relationship because I got a lot of golfing buddies. I got a lot of friends that can do stuff. But with you in my life, I've put weight on that relationship, and I'm going to keep honoring you in that way. It's just me. I'm not getting too familiar. Say not get too familiar. Okay, that was okay, but, you know. Next time, guys. Next time. Next time. We got to practice this, people. We got to practice this. Say not get too familiar. Oh, my God, that was good. All right. So third point, dishonor limited the expression of God's power in the community. Dishonor limited the expression of God's power in the community. In other words, because of the dishonor, not putting weight on the relationship, other people couldn't get healed. Whew. If you ever have a house with many families and it's a bunch of dishonor in that family, everybody just, you know, well, that's just how I joke. Well, that's just my personality. Well, really, is it? Let's put that against the word of God and see really how much it is. It might be. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with humor. Let's clear that up. We're not saying don't use humor, because humor is good. What I'm saying with this and this third point is that dishonor, other people couldn't get healed because of that atmosphere. Jesus couldn't do many works. And so in that house of dishonor, when other people come into that house, they don't want to be around that nonsense. So when you have a church, a spiritual community, follow me now. When you have a church where pastors are dishonoring people, people are dishonoring pastors, the body is dishonoring each other, there's a bunch of dishonor, no one wants to be around that. They can feel that energy, but watch this. When they get around a culture that's completely different, and they see that, oh, you didn't vote for this president, but I see you still honoring him, And then they're going to push you a little bit. Come on, you can't tell me you really like that president, because, you know, the word of God says this, and then you start quoting scripture to justify the dishonor. We do it all the time. But when you have a culture of honor, it opens the floodgates for the kingdom of God, for healing to really flow, because people can feel that. They can experience it. Okay, so those are the three things. And because of those three things, in this particular sermon too, we've come to this conclusion, and it's this. In God's kingdom, dishonor cannot reign free. Dishonor can't reign free. It really hinders the full reality of the kingdom of God. It really does. A culture of dishonor will limit the reality of the kingdom of God. And so for the rest of my time, I want to highlight two relationships for the rest of my time in the kingdom of God that I was thinking, do we need to restore honor to these? I don't think so. What I really want to do is I just want to put weight back on two relationships. I want to put weight. One is pastors and leaders within a church, and one is actually the church body. And I might move through this a little bit quick, but we're still in the teaching mindset. So let's talk about dishonor can't reign free in relationships with pastors and leaders. Let's talk about that. Matthew 9:35. As you're going to Matthew 9:35, I am keenly aware that, my goodness, we have had some scandals with ministers. I am keenly aware that ministers in this day, we've had a lot of issues. However, God's word is still true, and there are a group of ministers today that are really serving God in an incredible way. And we need to restore honor to that relationship. And the ones that are not, remember, we don't return dishonor for dishonor. We pray for them. So let's talk about dishonor can't reign free in relationship with pastors and leaders. And in Matthew 9:35, I just want to put some weight on the relationship, on a pastor, on a leader of a community, just real quick. Okay, so
You guys there? You guys good? Verse 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and healing every disease and sickness. Whoever's got the gift of healing, boy, we need you. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, look at this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So there were crowds. Because look why he had compassion. Because they were harassed and helpless. So picture that. He's healing a bunch of folks, but there's a crowd of folks, and some people in the crowd are helpless, and some people in there are also harassed. Interesting. So there's a bunch of healing going on, but he zeroes in, and he sees in their eyes, he sees in their heart, he sees these people are helpless, these people are being harassed. And then look what he says, like sheep without a what? Shepherd. Then he said to, so they're harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Then he says to his disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but what? The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in the harvest field. Jesus' response to the care of his people was to send shepherds to them. His response to seeing them being harassed and helpless, he told his disciples, I need to send them shepherds to care for them. So when you look at the weight of that role, ministers, whoever feels a call to minister, to teach, to lead, which we all are, but as you're doing it, and the interesting thing about being a leader, at some point when you are sent, when God sends you somewhere, you will be the shepherd. You will be that leader. And so in that, in your sending, there's caring. And in your sending, God is the one who sends you. So put some weight on that relationship. Because God is the one who is calling these men and women to give up their careers, to give up their lives, to follow him in the care of his people. That's why Jesus told Peter, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's why Jesus said, look, if you even cause one of these little ones to fall, it's better for you to tie a fin around your neck, right? He's that serious about that. Okay, let's keep going. Acts 20, verse 28. All I'm doing here is I just want to put some weight on the relationship of ministers and leaders, and why honoring and putting weight, however you want to recognize that difference, is really important. Acts 20, verse 28, look what it says. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. So the writer is giving some instructions. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. So the idea here is that the Holy Spirit is speaking and moving in people's hearts as to where and where they should fellowship and where they should be. And he's telling the leaders there, keep watch over yourself and all the flock the Holy Spirit made you overseer. Be shepherds of church of the church of God. And look at this, which he bought with his own blood. He's like, don't remember the people that are under your care. Jesus paid a price for them. And he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. So even from your number, men, women will rise and distort the truth to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that. For 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day. Okay, Hebrews, just flip. We got one more. Hebrews 13, 17. This is the last one I want to say about pastors, and I'm going to talk about each other. Hebrews 13, 17. Once again, what am I doing? I want to put some weight on this relationship that we have with leaders and pastors. Hebrews 13, 17. Are we good? All right, let's go. Obey. That word obey in the original Greek, it means have confidence in. It comes from the word of like faith, pistos, have faith in. So it's really, it should say, have faith in them. That rule, that word rule, Greek, it's the idea of like governing or legislating, rule over you, submit yourselves. Now look, this is the part I want to get at. I'm not even talking about the rule or have confidence or submit. I want to get to the weight of this. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. as they, and that word account, the Greek, it's like someone like coming to make the books, like give an account of what you did. So if you've been a minister and you have a church of 30,000 or 10,000 or 10 people or 20 people, at some point, God's going to say, hey, I need you to give account of how you did with that shepherding of those people. That's the weight that's on that. I'm going to say that again. So when you have people that jump from church to church to church to church and they go different places, that's the culture we're in now. And I'm not saying this to be offensive. I'm not saying this to be rude. I'm saying it because it's facts. Because a pastor prays over the people. A good one does. A good shepherd. Because Jesus says there are sheep and wolves in sheep's clothing. Pastor prays over the people night and day. Night and day. And when you have pastors that are doing that, that are really investing in the people that they're because they know I have to give account. I have to give account before God. I have to give account for God. That is scary. It really, and it should be. And so with pastors, and let's finish this, that they may do it. I love what he says. Watch yourselves that they may give account, that they may do it with joy, right? He's like, let them watch over you with joy and not with grief. And then he says, for that is unprofitable for you. Ephesians 4, this is really interesting. You have the Holy Spirit in you, who will guide you into all truth. Greek word for guide there is like a tour guide. Like if you go to a city, you can go without a tour guide, but if you have a tour guide knows everything and he will show you everything. So you got the Holy Spirit, you've got God. So why in the world do you need pastors and leaders? Ephesians 4 gives it away, to train and to equip you for works of service. So when you lose faith, and the person who's supposed to train and equip you globally, when the church does, when we lose confidence in our pastors and our leaders because of a few or whatever, we lose faith in them. The power of God can't flow in that atmosphere. And that's why today nobody wants to go to church. You hear people all the time, I love God, but I just hate the church. I love God, but I can't stand that, and I can't stand this. Oh, they, yeah, I get it. No one's perfect. So that's really important. So there's no point in that. The point that I just wanted to make is that the weight of pastors is really our leaders, and you will be too. And maybe you are that now. You lead a ministry or you're doing stuff, and God has you caring for people. Just know whoever you're caring for, there's some weight on that relationship. You will be held accountable by the Almighty God, and there's no running from him. Last one, dishonor can't reign free in relationships with each other, back to back, with each other. You know what I'm saying? Just with human beings in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to cut this short, but you can read it when you go home in full. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. I'm just going to read a little bit about this because the author just kind of gets into it here. Are you all ready? 1 Corinthians 11, 17, he says this, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. Right there, we would have left the church already. If you meet with your pastor or your leader, he's like, how's it going? He's like, look, I got nothing good to tell you. Oh my God, this place is this. This place is this. It's like, look, I got to train you up. I'm not always going to tell you nice stuff. Ooh, if your pastor only tells you everything that makes you feel good, run. Run from that place. If there's shame that comes, run from. The kingdom doesn't work through shame. The kingdom works through conviction. Conviction says your behavior was bad. Shame says you are bad. Don't get the two confused. So this pastor says in the found directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than they do good. He's like, don't even. In the first place, I hear that he's just on a tangent. I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it, because I've been around your culture. I've seen how you talk to each other. I've seen how you interact with each other. I believe it. No doubt there are differences among you to show to show you which you have God's approval. So then when you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper you eat? So he goes on this whole tangent, and he's like, look, y'all have problems. Y'all need to fix that. And then he tells them, let's jump. We're going to jump. We're going to jump here. We're going to jump to for 29. And they talk about communion, right? Jump to verse 29. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body. Discerning the body doesn't mean like Jesus. It means each other. Eat and drink judgment to themselves. So when you take communion and when you're doing that and there's fractions and there's frictions, you're drinking judgment to yourself. That's how this culture of honor is so important. That, and then he gives them, I search every commentary, every Greek, whatever you got, and look what verse 30 says. That is why many of you are weak and sick. And a number of you have fallen asleep. You're dead. He's like, you're sick because you're not treating each other well. That's why some of you are dead. If somebody would have said that in a church today, look, your church is having a hard time because y'all are treating, that's why y'all dead. You're like, oh my God, that pastor, we got to get him out of here. If you reread the New Testament and see the leaders, these dudes were savage. Dishonor, not honoring and holding the difference in this is my brother or sister. I can't relate to them that way. And if I do, I'm sorry. Make up for it. Tell them, hey, I'm still working on that. And then you forget it instantly, and you move on from that. Because if you don't, it brings a nasty odor in this place. The other people, they feel that energy. They feel that thing. And in the kingdom of God, we make peace, not because we're right. We make peace to kick the devil in the face. In the kingdom of God, you make peace, not because you're right all the time. Human beings are complex people. Sometimes things go down between two people. You can't figure out who was right or who was wrong. But if you're in the kingdom, you squash that. You make peace. Look, I don't know. Okay, good. We good. And you bring peace back into the atmosphere. And then you start from a new foundation because Christ is your foundation. And then later on, you talk about in 1 Corinthians how he talks about we give honor to the lesser parts of the body, those who are less. And so as I'm wrapping it up here, we actually can't even dishonor each other. Forget all that pastor stuff. Dude, you put your pants, how's that? You put your pants on the same two legs at the same time. Is that how they express it? You put, yeah, like, you know what I say? Like, you put your, like, the Bible talks about Elijah was a man just like you was, or a woman. So if we put all that authority aside, I'm a human just like you are, deserving of honor. Put some weight on who I am. Put some difference on who I am. You, oh my God, you guys know how many Facebook posts I type and then I delete, and then I type, you know how many emails I write and then I delete, and my email has like a 30-second delay. And then it's like, do you sure you want to send that out? Because we're still learning. We're all still learning. This is serious, but it's also funny. Dishonor can't reign free in relationships with each other. Because it weakens our body, y'all. It weakens our body. And we will be dishonored. It's going to happen. But we don't return it. And then we learn to heal and move on with our friends. Let me close. I'm going to read you this. I'm just going to read this over you. This is my closing. I'm going to give the benedictions. I'm going to read this over you. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Has anybody been afflicted in this place and you're being patient in your affliction? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, Romans 12:14. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live, woo, live in harmony with one another. I was gonna go there and play a chord that is out of harmony and hear how bad it sounds when you play a chord that's not in harmony. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people with low position. Do not be conceited. It's all about me. It's me, 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 me. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Leave room for God to handle that pastor, handle your friend. Leave room for God to do what God does, which is not strike people down, by the way. It's to bring them to repentance, in case you know. I hear people say this, oh God, I pray that I forgive them, but I know that you're gonna judge them, you're gonna take care of that. I just leave them in your hands. Come on. Versus, Heavenly Father, I know I've been wronged by them, and I pray that you do not judge them for the wrong that they've did to me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you let them off the hook just like you let me off the hook. Heavenly Father, I pray that even though I know they don't feel the same way about me, God, I pray that you would just let them off the hook and you would fill their heart with peace. That's forgiveness. Versus praying for God to go get them. It's the go get them prayer. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. So when you have an enemy in the kingdom and you have someone, we don't run. We don't be like, I'm going to get ghosts. I'm going to cancel. We actually do the opposite. Because the only way in the kingdom of God that darkness gets smushed is the same way Jesus did it. He stood on the cross while they were spitting in his face, while they were cursing him out, while they were doing all those things. And he embraced the darkness with the light. And the light overcame the darkness 3 days later. So just when darkness thinks it's winning in your life, just when someone thinks that they've got you, it's a terrible situation, you say, bring all of the darkness, because greater is he that is in me that is in the world. I have put a light of God in you, and you don't put your light under a bushel. I'm gonna let that thing shine. No situation, no person, no nothing will cause me not to let my light shine. As long as it's up to me, I'm going to be at peace with everyone. That's a kingdom culture. You give food to your enemies. Jesus, when he died on the cross, all his disciples dishonored him. They didn't put weight on, because they all ran off, except for the women. They did not run off. 3 days later, he did not return dishonor with dishonor. He went and caught fish. He cooked for them, and he cooked for them, and then he brought the relationship back. That's a kingdom culture. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So church, this is talking about dishonor and putting some weight on some relationships, some weight on each other. And honestly, this is something we're practicing. We're not there yet. Well, forget that. I'll speak for myself. I'm not there yet. This is where I want to be. Let's pray.